Okay, I have a quiz for you to start with. That is not me when Ian asked me to speak. And me this afternoon when it's done. That's not it. I looked at that and I thought, you could caption that so many ways. Some of you can probably relate to that in all sorts of ways. But it is actually, and I didn't know it was going to be this till I got here today, that is one of the choruses we sing. What is it? I'll tell you if I have to. Remember, I'm a school teacher. I've got a lot of patience. So I can wait. One of the choruses we have sung today. I am no longer. I am. That's good. Oh, I'm talking about children and so forth. Wasn't that amazing this morning? When Jesus said, you've got to become like little children. Yeah? When he was jumping up and down and shouting out, yay! I thought, yeah, we've got to become just like that. Right, Valentine soon. Ooh, Valentine's Day soon. Oh, okay, thank you. I was going to do that, but there was water on it, and I thought, that's asking for trouble. Thank you very much. Thank you. So I found a little story. It goes on a bit, but be patient. You may have heard it before, but it just cracks me up every time. It's two diary entries of a couple. First, her diary entry. Tonight, I thought my husband was acting weird. Some of you can probably relate to that. I know one person can. We had made plans to meet at a nice restaurant for dinner. I was shopping with my friends all day long, so I thought he was upset at the fact I was a bit late. But he made no comment on it. Conversation wasn't flowing, so I suggested that we go somewhere quiet so we could talk. He agreed, but he didn't say much. I asked him what was wrong. He said, nothing. I asked him if it was my fault that he was upset. He said he wasn't upset, that he had nothing to do with me, and not to worry about it. On the way home, I told him that I loved him. He smiled slightly and kept driving. Men, really. No. I can't explain his behaviour. I don't know why he didn't say, I love you too. When we got home, I felt as if I had lost him completely. As if he wanted nothing to do with me anymore. He just sat there quietly and watched TV. He continued to seem distant and absent. Finally, with silence all around us, I decided to go to bed. About 15 minutes later, he came to bed, but I still felt that he was distracted and his thoughts were somewhere else. He fell asleep. I cried. I don't know what to do. I'm almost sure that his thoughts are with someone else. My life is a disaster. That was her diary. His diary. Motorcycle won't start. Can't figure out why. I like that. Right, today I'd like to share some things that have moved and encouraged me recently. So I hope they can encourage you. So start first with who we are. We can sing a bit about that today. I'm known as Peter. Major revelation for you. I'm tall, I have blue eyes, and I'm generally quite quietly spoken. You can see I'm tall from a distance. If you get a bit closer, you can notice my eyes. But you have to get to know me a little bit more to find out the last fact. If you look around the room, we can see all sorts of people here. And we could use all kinds of words to describe them. Nice words, I can say that quite safely here. We know each other reasonably well, or most of us, so we could be quite accurate with some of our words, with most of our words. But of course, God knows us exactly as we are. We're all different. Some things are similar. We have some things in common. Lots of different things. But each one of us is unique. Handmade by God. With his special stamp on us. We all have different things we do in the church, at home, hobbies, work. And we can use these things to identify and remember facts about each other. And we remember different things about different people. I might remember that somebody had a new jumper on today. Somebody else would remember that they came and chatted about their work. And we use all these things to build a picture up in our minds of each other. When we think about Anne, we think about Anne and the things that make Anne so special. Yeah, her joy. Yeah, her love. Yeah. All these things help us to remember people. We know ourselves quite well, of course, because we know what we've done, where we've been, all about ourselves. But our view of ourselves can be changed. If someone says something good about us, it makes us feel good. And we think, oh, yes, I am. If somebody says something not so nice about us, oh, really? Maybe I am like that. And that can. So we need to be very careful what we let get inside us, who we listen to, but most important, who we agree with. Yeah, Bill Johnson says that we can't let anything get in our mind. We can't be thinking any thought that God does not think about us. Yeah, anything that's in our mind that does not inspire hope is a lie from the devil. So if somebody says something that's not right, we don't say, no, I don't agree with that. That's not right. I reject that. Now, where am I going with this? Paul spent a lot of time with Timothy, travelling around different churches. He knew him well, he loved him, and regarded him as his son. In his letter to him, he gives him some advice, which I'd like to consider. Here we go, 2 Timothy 2, second letter. It's the Passion Translation. I saw this a while ago. If anybody hasn't read any of the Passion Translation, I totally, absolutely, 200% recommend it. In a palace, you find many kinds of containers and tableware for many different uses. Some are beautifully inlaid with gold or silver, but some are made of wood or earthenware, and some of them are used for banquets and special occasions, and some for everyday use. Hang on to that one for a minute. So, we're all different. Who are the bowls of gold? Who's got gold all over them? Silver? Who's got the most decoration? Somebody's saying Mary. Well, Ian's the pastor, surely he... Now, of course, we're all under construction and going from glory to glory. That's a nice little, That's right. But do we still think, well, so-and-so's bone china, Definitely. And there's beautiful decoration all over Mary. Just see it shining out of her. But then, oh dear, I look in the mirror and I see a wooden plate. With a nasty crack and a big chunk off the side that I hope not too many people notice. So if I keep quiet and stay out of the way, they probably won't notice it too much. Is that what we think? I know I do sometimes, too often. Right. But I hope we all know that God loves us just as we are. And Ian frequently reminds us that we are all God's favourite child, all of us. Starting with Ian at the top, and then all of us underneath, we are his favourite child. couldn't love us anymore. Just like any parent here can say, they're all different and they're all my favourite. They're amazing. That's how he's, more than that, that's how he sees us. But what did Paul have to say about this? But you, Timothy, must not see your life in ministry this way. Your life in ministry must not be disgraced, for you are to be a pure container of Christ and dedicated to the honourable purposes of your master, prepared for every good work that he gives you to do. Now, I love this. I love Paul. I really, and the more I read Paul, the more I love him. I think he's amazing. Years ago, people said, "Oh, Paul, he's a bit of a misery. He's got doesn't do this, doesn't he? Oh, really? I'm glad I didn't know him." But if you read what he says, he's got a better sense of humour than me, and that's. So he paints this wonderful picture of all these different pots and how beautiful they are. So Timothy, have you got this in your head? Right? Well, now get it out of your head because it's nothing like that. Very good. So he's built this picture up because I think this is what Timothy was doing. And I can understand it. Timothy was going around with Paul, seeing amazing things, seeing Paul all day long. And all the other leaders, Apollos and Priscilla and Aquila, was it? Yeah, and he's seeing these people and he's seeing miracles and he's very young. Somewhere else in the letters it says, don't let people look down on your youth. So he's probably feeling all that. And Paul says, it's irrelevant. Get that out of your head. That's not the way you've got to think about it. And that's not the way we've got to think about it either. Yeah? Your life and ministry is not to be disgraced, for you are to be a pure container of Christ. And that's what we've got to be. Beautiful, golden, silver, decorated. That's God's purpose for us. And that's how he's seeing us. He doesn't see the wooden plate with a lump knocked off. Yeah, really doesn't. You have to see yourself as God sees you. And in Zephaniah, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. He rejoices over you with singing. He dances over you. Little you, little me. Big you, big me. That's how he sees us. And that's for years and years and years, that's been really, really hard. It's still hard for me. Don't get that. I know me, God. And he says, yeah, I know you better. So to carry on the imagery a little, I had a picture when I was doing this of a job lot in an auction. That's the world. Remember, you know, in auctions, you get this special pot and this wonderful masterpiece. But sometimes at the back, you get a great big box full of stuff. And that's the world. And God's bought that, all of it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He's taken it. Now, if I looked in there, I might say some were masterpieces, amazing works of art. Some were quite pretty and useful. And some probably put in the garage. Yeah, and those, well, I'll take them to a charity shop, don't really need them. Somebody might buy them. And some, well, I've no idea what that even is. Who would have made that and why do they make it like that? I mean, and some, well, they're just chipped and broken and not sure what's going to happen with them. Can't see any possible use for those. But Paul is saying God doesn't see it that way at all. And don't let yourself think like that. Jesus came for the broken. He mends and changes and transforms them. He adopts them and puts them in pride of place and delights in them. Yeah? It's not the Lord your God is with you. He takes great delight in the really best ones, in the prettiest ones, and the ones who dance the most or whatever. He will rejoice over you, that is you, every single one of you, and me, with singing. And even if you're pretty amazing already, God wants to make you even more amazing, even more beautiful. I've got a story I'd like to tell. This happened a while ago now. I'm going to try and get through it without crying. Mary prayed for me this morning that I'd be able to read it without crying. During the worship time, one Sunday morning near the start of November, and it wasn't this November, it was probably the November before, Dorothy shared a picture of the Trinity sat around three sides of a square table. I don't know. With an empty chair on the fourth side. So she just had this picture. So imagine a square table. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and an empty chair. She said that the table was piled high with loaded with all God's blessings, and we were invited to come and sit down and fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we were invited to help ourselves to the delights on the table. He's got so much for us. And he comes, he says, come, sit with me, sit with us, and help yourself. Now, the image really resonated with me, and I could clearly imagine it. But the scene continued and developed for me. And it was as if I was there, and I realized that I had to put down the things I was carrying first. So I imagined myself walking up to the table so I could sit down. And of course, I had suitcase and bag and coat. So I put them down, as you would, and sat down. Because you wouldn't sit down and eat carrying the shopping in the suitcase, would you? And I needed to come to the Father, to come to the Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But all the stuff I was carrying, all the worries, I need just to put them down for a minute. They didn't go away. They were just not needed at that moment. I could pick them up again if or when I needed to. Now, the idea continued with me, and it was really helpful in my quiet times. Still is sometimes. As each day I each day contained different things to do, problems, worries, and good things. I imagined myself putting them down by the side of the table, sitting down and talking about the day, how amazing God had been to me, my problems, or whatever. Good, bad, or indifferent. It was often the start of my quiet time, just doing that. And some weeks later, I was picturing myself at the table again, when the scene took on a life of its own. So it was, I was there and I was in control up to now, I suppose. But somewhat nervously, I took out a small sphere. It looked a bit like a large glass marble. Some of you may have played with them or children of mine. And amazingly enough, if you can't imagine it, Dorothy's drawn one. Just over here. These little marbles. I saw that and thought, oh. It looked a bit like a large glass marble with a twist of darker colour inside. I just knew, I just don't know how, but I knew this was my praise. My praise for God, little thing. It was totally inadequate in every way. But at the same time, I knew I wanted to give it to my three companions. They were delighted by it, and I could sense their joy and pleasure, which again brought me joy and pleasure. I knew how I would have felt if one of my sons had given something small to me to please me. So I was thrilled I had done something to please God, who had done so much for me. And I said, wow, that's amazing. Thank you, God. Yeah. Can we turn this down? That's really tough. Now, I thought that would be it. Amazing. Days later, in a worship time, God lifted me up out of myself, as it were. Yeah? And I went round to the other side. I was still there, but I could see me. Yeah? So he could show me the scene that he saw. So And it was the scene where I gave him the marble. So I watched myself pull out the small sphere. I couldn't even see the marble. I was blinded by the light shining. The beautiful light shining out of it. And then God said to me, I put that in you. When you released that back to me, it had my glory in it. Thank you for such a beautiful gift. So sometimes when we just lift our voices in praise, we don't know what God is seeing in that. Now, if we're praising him, it's because he's in us, and we know of him. And he's put that in us. He is in us. His spirit is in us. And when we just give that back to him, he sees it so differently than we do. That was at least 13 months ago, and you can still see what it does for me. And every time I read it, praise him. Thank him. He sees you the same way as that marble too. You see a little marble. He sees something blindingly beautiful because he is in you. His son is in you. Don't forget it. And don't listen to the lies that tell you you're not like that. You can't do that because it's a lie. God saw us and sees us as worth his son. Yeah? God so loved us, he gave his son, his most precious thing. We are all precious to him, and we are presented as a spotless bride. Again, we sang about that today. Holy, blameless, radiant, without wrinkle or blemish. Is that how you see yourself? Because that's how God sees you. And he's finished with you. Holy, blameless, radiant, without wrinkle or blemish. It's not how I see myself sometimes, most of the time. Now, you might say, not everyone can be the gold and silver. Okay? Yeah, it's all great, I understand that, but you can't have everything gold and silver. It just doesn't work that way. There has to be some lesser quality ones for everyday use. But this is heaven we're talking about. Heaven on earth as well. Not wait till we get there by and by. Yes? Our Father, our heart in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So we start off in heaven, representing Jesus here and now, showing who he is and what he's done. And we've got a model for this in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament, poorer covenant than we have now. What we've got now is better than back then. Yes. Paul tells us all about this in somewhere. There's a new covenant. Yes, it's much better than the old covenant. So, next one. 2 Chronicles. All King Solomon's goblets were gold. All of them. And all the household articles. Not just the best plates for when visitors come, like Queen of Sheba. All the household in the palace of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Nothing was made of silver. Because silver was considered of little value in Solomon's day. And that was on earth. Well, if Solomon can do that for his palace, what's God going to do for his temple, which is you? For his bride, which is you and me? We are all to be perfectly, wonderfully, beautifully inlaid, gorgeous. Every one of us. No exceptions. And this is what Paul was saying to Timothy, I believe. There is greatness and beauty in you put there by God. Draw it out and show it as you are transformed from glory to glory. And if it's right for Timothy, it's right for us. God doesn't have favourites. So we're all his favourite. Because when he looks at us, he sees his son. That doesn't mean he doesn't see us. He knows us totally, completely, and still loves us without limit. Still. I remember I was over here singing when the penny dropped a while back. God knows everything about me. Inside, outside, every thought. And he still loves me. So why am I trying to hide? What am I trying to hide? He knows it already. I can hide things from you, but I can't hide things from him. And why do I hide things from you? Because if you actually saw me the way I really am, you wouldn't really like me. I know that. The devil told me. But God knows already. And he still loves you. Amazingly still loves you. And we still hold back. Why? If you find out the answer, please tell me, because I'm still looking to find out why. But it doesn't make sense. Now, I think this is sort of the main part of the message. It is to get this, that we are to be beautiful. We are beautiful. We are not the reject at the bottom of the pile that gets taken to the charity shop that just might scrape into heaven if nobody notices. Yeah. If we get that, then we can go on. Yes. Then this, once you've got that, if we think we're the plain, ordinary chip bowl, it limits what we expect from God. Just like the people in Nazareth, who wouldn't recognize who Jesus was, and that limited what could be done there. We have to recognize Jesus' body, and his presence is wherever we are. Or we're robbing ourselves. Now, only a few... I love that phrase. Only a few miracles could be done in Nazareth. Only a few healings. Oh, just a few. I settled for that this morning, yeah. To be honest. Not permanently, but I'd settle for only a few miracles this morning. And we'll build from that. And that was because nobody believed in him. But if we don't believe in ourselves, then we're not asking God, we're not expecting anything. Oh, I couldn't do that. And it limits it. It does limit. Doesn't make us any less beautiful, but it limits what God is doing. So what does Paul say we should do about this? Right, we need to... we look at the next one? Have I got it right? No. Okay. Understand we're a pure container for Christ. Oh, that's fine. I've gone back to two. Okay. Run as fast as you can from all the ambitions and lusts of youth and chase after what is pure. Whatever builds up your faith and deepens your love must become your holy pursuit. So I'll read that again. Run as fast as you can from all the ambitions and lusts of youth. Chase after what's pure. Whatever builds up your faith and deepens your love must become your holy pursuit. That's what he says. That's the next part. So get it in your head. You're beautiful. Now you know you're beautiful. We can do this. If you haven't got the idea that you're beautiful because God made you beautiful, not because of what you did. Now, let's have a look at this. First then, he suggests we run away. And you Monty Python fans here will probably have that image in your head now. Run away, run away. Now, Ian has given us a really helpful visual aid for this. So, we were in the kingdom of darkness. But we have been transformed into the kingdom of light. So any time we sort of stop hovering round over here, or the devil's saying, we run away over to our kingdom of light. This is where we belong. We were sinners. We now are saints. We used to sin because we were sinners. Now we shouldn't be sinning. Our natural makeup being over here was to sin. Now our natural makeup is not to sin. We can do it. We have a free will. But we're not inclined that way anymore. And the more we get here, the less we're inclined to go there. So Paul says, you just wander, run away, don't even think about it, just get out of there, here. Secondly, chase after what is pure. So what's pure? Pure means untainted and not mixed. You must strive to avoid adding in those old thoughts that were here. They come all the time. If you're anything like me. Yes. But no, that's there. I'm not thinking about that. I'm rejecting it. That's not me. I belong here. So I can't afford to have an idea about myself that God doesn't have about me. As I said before. So, Galatians 5. We've got... So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I'm coming over this side, this way. Just need a different view. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. So walk by the Spirit. Stay here, not over there. Another reason for me to stand over here. You can't be both. You can't be both. Now, the acts of the flesh are obvious, so they're over there. We're leaving them alone. We've left them. We've run away from them. But the fruit of the Spirit... Is it there? Ha! But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace... Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. So these are the things we need to be adding in and thinking about. If you're thinking of yourself as this beautiful bowl, what are you going to put in the bowl? Cherries, apples and bananas. Yes? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. And as you look around the room, you see people, you see God's beautiful bowls, he's filling with all those, with the love and the joy and the peace. Yeah. If you had those on little post-its, you could go around and you could stick those on all sorts of, and you know, you recognise where you could put them. Yeah. These things will show off what God has built into you. God has put there. And then we can come and say to other people, come and be beautiful like me. Sounds a bit, you know. Come and be, not come and be a chip bowl, platter like me. Not too many scratches. Come and be beautiful. I was really impressed with Jill the other day. When somebody said, why are you so happy? And she said, I'm a Jesus girl. They recognise it. She didn't say, oh, well, I suppose I was born that way. Oh, I'm not really. No, she said, no, I'm a Jesus girl. Come and be beautiful like me. Come and be joyful like me. That's what we're doing with the coats and the flowers. And say, come and be like us, standing up and saying, look, we've got something. Something's been built into us. Come and be like me, because we are beautiful. We have got something that is amazing. And other people will notice it. Other people do notice it. The devil says, no, they don't. And again, in Philippians, what does it say in Philippians? Finally, brothers, it's not finally, sorry, you're not that lucky. Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Another way of just building it into our heads. Think about those things, not about all the things that have gone wrong, and all the things you've done wrong. The lies that will get pumped in, the negative things that will get, if you listen, but you don't agree, think about these things. What has God done? She's jumping ahead. That's next. So, next one. Is that back to 2 Timothy? Yeah. So, just run as fast as you can. Chase after what's pure. Whatever builds up your faith. Oh, build my faith, Lord. I need more faith. I need more. Right, and the next one. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. We know it, we've read it. That's verse 1, I believe. We need to remember what God has done. That's how we build up our faith. In the past, in us, in our families, and focus on that. We are not to focus on what he hasn't done or the enormous problem we are facing. There might be a mountain in front of you, and it's a very big mountain, and the more you stare at it, the bigger it can look. But if we turn and look at God, who is bigger than the mountain, think, oh, it starts getting a bit smaller. We don't deny the mountains there. We don't say, oh, my leg doesn't hurt. Yes, it does. But God is the God who can heal this. But we deny it. We're not going to live our lives because that mountain's there. Because God can get rid of it. We're not going to live our lives just because of this problem, that worry, whatever it is. God is bigger. It doesn't influence everything we are. The Old Testament is full of references of when Israel forgot what God had done. If you read Judges, they remembered for a while and the judge came along and then they forgot what God had done and they slipped away. And the next judge and the next judge and the next judge. In Psalms, Psalm 78, Psalm 106, But they forgot what God had done for them, and lists them out, and so they turned away. And I'm sure at that time they had problems with the Philistines coming in, this people coming in, that people coming. But the stories are there to teach us. When they remembered and said, God help, look, he intervened and helped them. And whole armies got defeated by killing themselves and all sorts. No problem is too big. But when they forget and say, well, maybe this will help, maybe that will happen, or we're doomed anyway, or just, we'll be all right, I'll trust the luck. Bad things happen. Now, I know I get very agitated if things are not going the way I think they should. Somebody's smiling. I don't know why. I'll take that as an agreement, my darling. But when I stop and remember what God has done and is doing and who he is, it just changes the atmosphere. Hang on. It changes the atmosphere. The situation is still the same, but I've got a different focus. I can often see then the lie that's getting me upset. And I thought, if you start basing on this assumption and that's wrong, you're in trouble. That's not the real problem here. And a good practice from, I heard this, I think it was somebody from Bethel in one of their speeches, I can't remember, talks. Practice for me is to laugh at it. Got this problem and I'm feeling all upset and I just think and it can sound a very hollow, silly laugh to start with, but it doesn't stay that way very often. And I start laughing at what the devil is trying to get me to do, or the devil is trying to get me to think, or they don't look at the things this way, and I just say, laugh. So if you're really getting, try it, just laugh. And suddenly, you know, Mr. O'Boyle, well, I'm back at school now. Peter, you really are cracked. Okay, well, I challenge you, try it. Next time you're really getting, just laugh. Be careful where you do it. The middle of Sainsbury's is probably, But see. God can't solve this problem. I have to put up with this illness or any other lie you are being sold. Sometimes just putting it into words. Like, hang on, really? That's rubbish. I know it's rubbish. Put it into words and think what God has done already. And declare the truth. Ian has a list this long of declarations you can make if you need any help with that one. Yes? All things are possible in God. He loves me and has adopted me as his child. I am more than a conqueror. Whatever. Just declare it out. That's what Jesus did when he was tempted. He came back with declaration of who God was, who he was. Declare it out. build your faith by looking at what God has already done, what he can do in your situation for you, because he loves you. Now, if you think you're just a chipped old plate, he's not going to bother with me. You see how you need to get that focus and begin. No, he's made me beautiful. He loves me so much. He will do this. He cares for me. And he's already done this. Hang on, this, and this. How will he not do this? If nothing else, he's already given his son for me. How will he not then give us all things? So somewhere or other. Fourthly, deepen your love. You could spend weeks just on this one. You can only deepen your love by getting closer to the one who is love and sharing what he gives you. Well, I won't say only. You can deepen your love by getting closer to the one who is love and sharing what he gives you. As we worship him, we become more like him. So let's spend more time with him. Moses turned aside and then God spoke to him. He saw the bush burning. But God didn't shout, "Hey, Moses, come over here." He had to stop and go to the bush. And then God spoke to him. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus went to leave. And they said, no, don't go. Come in with us. They invited him in, and so he did. And then they saw who he really was. Before he got in the boat, it was amazing. He was walking across the water, and they were in the boat. And it says in Mark, it's not recorded in the others, but in Mark, it says, and it was as though he's going to walk straight past. I can understand why the others didn't put it in, to be honest. You're in the boat, all the disciples, big storm, scared to death, and Jesus comes, "Hi. What are you doing? We need you. Come over here." But he looked as though he was going to pass, and so they cried out to him. Call him in the boat. Don't just stand there. Well, I hope he helps you. Invite him in. Spend that time. Look for him. Take the time to be with him. Call out to him. Invite him in to talk. Take 5 minutes at all odd times just to turn your thoughts to him. When you're on the bus, when you're on the train, when you're sat there in the doctor's, maybe already, or the dentist, whatever. When there's a really boring speaker on, and you know, drifting, or just take 5 minutes to be. Sorry. And something I'm learning, take 5 minutes longer. When you finish your quiet time, take a few minutes to talk about what you've been talking about. I've learned that from women, listening to women. Yeah. Men, we talk, we say things, and we finish. But women will share things, and then they'll talk about what they've said, and then they'll talk about them talking about what they've said, and then they'll talk about something else, and then they'll go and talk about what they were talking about the first time, and then they'll talk about what they talked about the first time and how that's completely different to the thing they talked about then, but then it could be the same, and it is connected, probably, maybe. And then they'll talk about all that. And then they'll get home and they'll call them each other up and say, "Wasn't that a good talk we had? I haven't enjoyed having a little chat about that for ages." The next time they meet, they'll talk about the phone call. It's good. I don't understand it, but it's good. Do that with God. "Hey, that was a really great time. Thank you. That was really enjoyed that." Just take the... "Right, I finished my quiet time." "Hang on, no, I haven't. 5 minutes more. Just 5 minutes." And sometimes that 5 minutes can be the best bit of the whole time. He is a rewarder of those who seek him. If you seek him, you will find him. And he is wonderful and gentle and amazing because he loves you. And he loves you. And he's made you so special. Next one. This I've taken this a little, I confess, I've taken this a little out of context, but it just, I just wanted to read this. I just sort of got a sense of what David must have been feeling when he said this. This is when he's made him king and done all sorts of things. But then King David went in and sat before the Lord and he said, "Who am I, Lord God, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, you, O Lord God, have looked on me as though I were the most exalted of men." He got that. You can tell it in his Psalms, of course, but this is where he sort of writes it down. Wow! But this is David. Yeah, but that's where we can get to. That's where we get to. And we just sit in front of God and we say, wow. And just to contradict myself completely, we don't say anything. We just sit there and let that wash over us. Because that last bit applies to every single one of you. And you can put woman in there if you feel you need to. You, Lord God, have looked on me as though I were the most exalted of men, or of women, of mankind. And that's how he sees us. That's why he sent his son to die for us. That's why we're going to spend all eternity with him, feeling that. Welcome. So in a palace, you will find many kinds of containers and tableware for many different uses. Some are beautifully inlaid with gold or silver, and some are made of wood or earthenware. Some of them are used for banquets and special occasions. You are a beautiful, unique creation, inlaid with gold and decorated amazingly. Any thoughts that deny that are lies from the one who lies, steals, and kills. But let's not forget the other part. We are made for a purpose. Used for banquets and special occasions, for feasts and celebrations. This matches up with our commission to go and preach the good news. And as you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out the demons." That's Matthew 10. "Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick." Matthew 25. And that would be a special occasion. The special occasion is not just in heaven. We are to bring heaven here. And as beautiful as we are, we're not cabinet pieces. Now, here, if we have the most expensive Moorcroft bowl, it's beautiful. We put it in a cabinet and we have glass in front of it and we leave it there. We invite people to see it and it stays there. And we make sure it doesn't get too dusty. God hasn't made us like this to be that. He wants to use us every day. But he keeps us beautiful. He renews us every day so that we can be used every day and stay beautiful. In fact, get more and more and more beautiful as we become more like him. Now, I was going to finish with a song, but I think I'll just stop there. Don't worry, I wasn't really going to sing. So can I just pray? Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, just come and meet us where we are today, each one of us. Help us hear the things that we need to hear. Help us understand the things we need to understand. Pray that your love and your view of us will sink deep into our hearts and our souls and our minds and our spirit. That we will be aware of just how wonderful, wonderful you think we are. Because of what you have done, how you have changed us, how you continue to change us day by day. And once we get that, Lord, and Holy Spirit hover over us and so we get it more and more and more. Help us to go and share that with others who so desperately need your transforming power. Amen.